Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan, and I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this 30th day of May 2018. We're going to look at what it means to be dependent. Ooh, a word where we have to kind of deal with it, as it were. And what does it mean for me to be dependent on other people? We all are to a certain degree, but we're going to talk about it, of course, to the nth degree here on Aspire, and I'm grateful that you chose to be with me as we take a look at it. It is always very interesting to me to take a look at things from another point of view, and maybe I can offer to you maybe another way of looking at it. I want to remind you, as you listen to these radio programs, that they are here, they are sponsored by people who are very unusual, very unique, people who understand the status quo, do not want to engage in it, probably want to offer to you an alternative to your input that you normally get through radio and TV, yada, 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 all of that stuff that people get involved in. These are very unique individuals, and I want to thank them for their sponsorship, and I hope you will join them. We need your support to sustain this program. I am not looking to be, you know, all over the globe. I'm not one of those kinds of individuals. I know the scope of my work. I know the mentality and the mental acuity of the people that generally listen. I know that it is not always very popular, but nonetheless, unless the none, it has to be out there. It just has to be. Otherwise, there's only one thing. There's only the opinion that most people have about life. We don't, it just would be terrible to only hear one thing, and that's probably what people want to hear. But there's always that other side of the coin thing that I think is very important. So there you are. I hope you'll become a sponsor and help us. If you're interested, come to the website at aspire.org. And while you're there, you will see that four-letter word support. And if you click on it, a menu will ensue, a little download menu that you can look at. And it says, why support Aspire? And it will tell you about all the activities and services that Aspire provides for those who need it, and that includes my hospice work as well. So you'll see it all there, aspire.org. Go take a look. What does it mean to be dependent? What are we dependent on? It means to put a great deal of weight on someone or something. It means that we have some sort of a significance with another person where we depend upon them. We lean on them emotionally, psychologically, financially, all of that. But we have come to a place where we are what we call, way back in the 80s, codependent. And this term was very, very popular in the 80s and kind of leaked into the 90s with authors who were writing about alcoholics and what caused alcoholism and what caused our social diseases that we have. And we have a lot of them. We really do. And because of all of this stuff that is going on within us, our codependency, depending upon other people to like us, love us, tell us that we're wonderful, we've kind of turned into this very, ugly crowd. And we've turned ourselves over to other people and said, judge me, tell me what is good about me, and don't tell me what's bad. I don't want to hear it, that kind of thing. So we have all this stuff going on. It's very, very difficult. So I get all sorts of emails from people regarding codependency. I really do. And so I chose three here that I thought might be interesting to all of us. The first one comes from Jay. He does not tell me where he lives. How come I need people? I find this very annoying. We all need people, right? But how much should we need them, Jay? I don't know what the level of your need is. I don't even know what you mean by need. I really don't. What is this need thing? How far does need go? How much should a person need another person? How are we losing our virtual independence by needing people to come into our life or be in our life that tell us that we should be this, that, or the other? How far should that ever go? The whole apparatus of neediness and codependency or being dependent upon another to make ourselves happy or feel secure is an extremely important thing to understand. It is, in my opinion, a disease. And it's a disease that goes very deep, Jay, into a person because we have not found what we are. Now, I'm not saying who we are, what we are. And if you live by the who you are, you will always need people to reassure you of whatever it is that you have associated yourself with emotionally and psychologically. And typically that has to do with a great deal of fear. Fear is the commonality of all human beings. Not love, fear. We want to be loved, but we fear we won't be loved or can't be loved. And because we live in such a manner, we create inside of ourselves a tremendous gap. A tremendous sense of yearning, longing, needing, wanting. We want people to look at us and say, you're okay, you're wonderful, you're normal. People would like that. Some people would. Other people want to be extraordinary. So, Jay, this whole thing you say, how come I need people? Because you haven't found out what you are. You've only assumed you know who you are. And in this assumption of who you are, you have given up the what you are. In doing this, you need to depend upon others to tell you who you are. Did your parents ever look at you and say, who do you think you are? Has anyone ever said that to you? Well, who do you think you are? And if you understand that question, you really have to ask yourself, yes, who do I think I am? And the more you get into that, the more you start to get into that, the more you start to understand the necessity for finding out not who you are, but what you are. Now, most people try to improve on the who. But I did a whole series of TV programs for you, and there's a slew of discourses on this that you can download and purchase if you like, or if you become a sponsor, that's all there for free. But it's nobody likes you anyway. And I did a whole series on this. Oh, my contemporaries and my colleagues just hated this. They gave me a very bad review on this, as it were, because the whole idea of nobody likes you anyway, the first time you hear that, you realize, yeah, that's true. And then once you kind of realize what you've just agreed to, then you don't like it anymore. And that's kind of upsetting to the average bear here. So you have to look at it like this if you're going to get it. No matter what you do, there is always the promise of jealousy and pride, vanity, self-righteousness, selfishness involved in everything you do with another person or even with yourself. So when you look at it and you ask yourself the question, why do I need people? You need them to reassure you of the who or the person you have been pretending to be all these years? This is a very important thing for people. Tell me this, who I am and who I think I am is okay. There you go. And because we don't know what we are, and I'll tell you what you are love. Pure love. But you won't know that being hidden away in a human body that is only looking for gratification and knows that in that gratification there can never be enough of it to make life beautiful. Just can't be enough love or enough stuff, I should say. We look for affection. We want affection to bring us what we think will make us happy. And of course, that never works, just never works. So there you are. How come I need people? You need reassurance that you're the kind of person people will like. We all do, right? As you say, Jay? Yes, most people do, because they don't know what they are. Jay, thank you for your beautiful question. I hope this helped. Please forgive me. Namaste. Very intelligent question. Next one comes from John in St. Louis, Missouri. What does it mean to be independent of others and yet live with them? Very difficult, John. John, you hit the million-dollar question. When I read your email, I almost fell over. I really did. I don't get many emails like this. I really don't. And it's so intelligent and so well put together. I thought, this guy's the man from Mars. Because most people don't even go as far as you've gone. So I commend you. I salute you. I understand. What does it mean to be independent of others and yet live with them? Well, I don't know. It means something to everyone in a different way. It means that you love them, you care about them, but you don't depend upon them to define you, to tell you what it is that you want to hear, like you're wonderful, you're loved, you're important, you're essential, you're whatever. You don't do that to people. That is the ugliest thing I do. When I want you to love me, I will only do things to make you believe that I love you. This is a terrible thing I would do. Terrible, terrible. It means everything I do is insincere. It means everything I do is some form of selfishness to get something I want from another person. So I start living in a way in which I look for people, objects, and things to revolve around me and tell me how wonderful I am. So I do something kind for you, okay? Like pass the salt or whatever at the dinner table. It doesn't matter how important it may seem to be to me or you. It's I did something for you. I want kudos for it. I want you to tell me, oh, you are such a wonderful person for passing the salt or saying excuse me or saying please or thank you. In fact, today people don't even do please or thank you. Not anymore. Not anymore. It's just everybody's into this entitlement thing. It's gotten worse over the years and I've watched it in people. There's no graciousness in us. We just take it and think, I don't have to thank you. Thank you doesn't even cross our minds. We don't even know what the word thank you means or the gesture of it and how deeply important it is. It's about humility. It's about humbleness. It's about the honor of receiving something from someone else in order to help me. And especially if it's a very kind act, because that kind act might break my karma or reveal my karma to me. and change and alter the way I live in my karma, my methodology of life and everything. It could be so very important. The smallest gesture that someone does for me that is kind and caring, well, to me it means everything. But when I was younger, it was appreciated, but now it's worshipped. I've never taken for granted people's kindness ever in my life. Their mercy, if it ever was shown, I never have taken that for granted. But now I realize as I've gone on in my practice and I've gone on in my years, my age, I've realized how deeply important it is to feel love for another person, gratitude, the humility of it all. To bring that humility into some place within myself where I realize through your kindness, I was helped or I was relieved, something like that. We all need that. So when you're looking at other people, what does it mean to be independent of others? It means I don't depend upon you to give me the things that I should be finding out for myself. I don't depend upon you to give me those things that no one can give me. What are those things? Compassion, forgiveness, mercy, a sense of reality of what I am, helping me understand what I am. These are things that happen every moment of our life. Do you know that? Every moment of your life, John, me even talking to you on this radio program and reaching you all the way to Missouri, this is a form of a touch. And it is offering to you a chance to awaken, to self-realize, to come to a place where you feel the generosity and the genuineness of the unconscionable kindness that lives within you and me. I am uniting with your question in a way that brings about mercy not only to you, but to me as well. I can't touch your life without having your life touch mine. It all works in the same way. As you give, so shall you receive. It is the way you give that sets up the receptors for a great love within you, a great beauty. So what does it mean to be independent of others and yet live with them? It means you don't make them kowtow to your need to have affection, be essential, be important. You're not looking for them to give you the kudos your ego might desire or want for the sake of its own self. In other words, to get what pleases it. You're not doing things like that. You're genuinely acting out of your authentic heart. And whatever you are doing in service to this other person. When I go to hospice or I'm working with a student, it isn't about the pride of having them there. It is about helping them beyond their concepts of themselves, where they are no longer believing and living and thinking as they do, where you give people the chance to awaken. You give people a chance to feel the authentic in your acts and actions. And that authentic is love. Real love, real forgiveness, real kindness. Nothing phony. You start to see everything in the light of its great potential within you. And then with gratitude and joy inside of yourself, you immerse yourself in service to that person. That's where your, so to speak, independence lies. We're not independent. We are totally interactive with people, interconnected with people. It is about our oneness, not about our idea of I'm better than you, I'm independent of you. We're not independent of each other at all. We coexist with each other in a communion, if we are wise, that propagates compassion and love, mercy, forgiveness. Always give to those people, John, that are around you, those important qualities that you sense you need within you. If you do things like that, if you are able to do something like that, then you have served not only humankind, you've helped yourself come to the place where you understand your oneness with life as love. It is all about love. Everything is about love in this lifetime. It is the most important experience that you could ever know in your existence. Just love. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question, the killer question. Greg, this is from Gail. She does not tell me where she lives. Greg, family is everything, right? No, wrong. And I know I'm unpopular for this teaching, but it's not just mine. If you go and look at Jesus' teachings, who are your greatest enemy but those of your own household? He said, if you do not hate your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, you cannot follow me. Wow. Oichi. People don't like to hear that. That's not one you'll hear on Father's or Mother's Day. When Jesus uses the word hate, and the word hate in the Aramaic in this way, meant to put away, I don't want you to hate your family, not at all. But I don't want them to be any more special to you than anyone else. We're all your family. Everybody. Not your immediate birth family. We're all your family, one way or another. And unless you understand that, unless you understand the nature of what that means, then you will miss a great deal of genetic prejudice is found in our families. I've watched them. They're like clan. And they're always looking to lynch the person who isn't like them or doesn't agree with them or whatever. I understand. Everybody is my family, and that's the way I treat everyone. No one is outside my family. I live in a human body, in a humanness. That's part of the whole thing of the clan. I live in a human body that has genetic traits, just like anyone else, and I have to deal with them. When you're with your family, these genetic traits get exaggerated and then they get exonerated and all sorts of things start to happen that emotionally makes us think that, well, our poop don't stink, and it does stink. So what you have to do is you either unite through genetics and flesh and blood and you make those people more special. I like what Jesus said, who is my mother, who is my brethren, but those who seek to do the will of my Father. Yes, yes. You have to have a bigger picture. The only reason we, quote unquote, love our families is because we know we'll get support from them and they're the only ones you can depend upon in a time of crisis. That's what I hear all the time in my counseling work, but that is not even true. I have seen more damage done through families than I have through, quote unquote, strangers. So, sweetie, you got to decide which way you're going to go and what's important to you. And whatever that way is, it's going to be your way and it's going to be what is necessary for you. And I'm not here to tell you you should go out and dump your family because I'm not saying that. I'm saying you need to see them in the light and in the perspective of the authentic, the reality of everything that we're doing. I got to go. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. I hope any and all of this helped you today. Have a beautiful weekend. I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Namaste.